Hello and welcome to part three in this four-part series designed to show you how to create your first Windows Store app. Part three, Navigation Layout and Views, is divided into two videos. In this first video, we'll show how to navigate between pages, how to use panel controls like the grid, stack panel, and canvas, and how to use Visual Studio for designing page layout. Let's get started. Step one, add pages and navigation. The first thing we're going to do is add the photo viewer page. In Solution Explorer, right-click on Hello World, select Add New Item, and that'll open up the New Item dialog box. On the left pane, make sure we're filtering by Windows Store items, and we're going to select the Basic Page Template, not the Blank Page, Basic Page. And down here, let's go ahead and set the name here to PhotoPage.xaml. The name is set to PhotoPage.xaml, and go ahead and click Add to add it to our project. The first thing we're going to do is change the page title. So select My Application, and in our Properties window, let's just zoom in here. Make sure you have the Page Title text block selected, and under the Text property, click the Property Marker, and select Edit Resource to change that text. Let's change the value from My Application to Hello Photo. Once our page title is changed, go ahead and click OK. We should see it updated in the Visual Designer. And if we go back to our Property window and click on the Property Marker again and select Go to Source, it'll take us to the XAML source code, and you'll notice that the app name key is now set to Hello Photo. Next, we're going to add navigation. The XAML UI framework provides a built-in navigation model that uses frames as parents and pages as children that we navigate in between. This works much like the navigation in a web browser. The frame control hosts pages and has a navigation history that you can use to go forward and back through pages you visited. You can also pass data between pages as you navigate. In part one and part two, we looked at the code in app.xaml.vb that creates a frame and then uses the navigate method to navigate to main page when the app first starts. Now what we're going to do is add a command to main page to navigate to this new photo page in the same way. To navigate between pages, in Solution Explorer, double-click mainpage.xaml to open it. So select our main page and go ahead and just double-click it to open it. And let's double-click our XAML editor to make this full screen. And we'll select 140% so we can see. In the XAML editor, go ahead and just scroll down until you find the stack panel that we created in the previous steps. And what we're going to do is add a button element for our navigation, and we're going to add it right after this greeting output. So I'm just going to add a line break here, and we'll add some XAML to add this button. And we'll say, button, let's give it a name, and let's call this photo page button. And for the content property, this is what's displayed on the button. We'll say go to photo page. Now we could add a click event handler directly in XAML for this button, or what we can do is go to the properties view and select events, and under the click event for the photo page button, what we're going to do is add a new method, and we'll call this photo page button underscore click. And when we click enter, Visual Studio will automatically build that event handler for us. Now I'm just going to zoom in the IDE a little bit so we can see the code. And we'll do a quick if statement to make sure that me.frame is not nothing. And assuming there's actually a frame that exists, we can call the navigate method on it and say me.frame.navigate. And we're going to navigate, and we'll say to the get type, because it needs a type, and the type is going to be photo page. Now what happens is when you click an event, we make sure the frame actually exists, then we call the navigate method and navigate to the photo page. Let's go ahead and click run here so we can see this in action. Here's our Go to Photo Page button. When we click it, notice that it jumps to the photo page. Now if you remember, when we built the photo page, we used the basic page template. That template uses a layout-aware page class and then has built-in support for navigation. The back button over here, this uses the frame history to go back to the previous page and is shown only when the frame.canGoBack property is true. And if we click this, we automatically jump back to the Hello World page, and we can navigate between pages. And the nice thing is we didn't have to write any extra code to be able to navigate back to the previous page. It's just already built into the layout-aware page class. Step 2. Add controls and content to a page. Before we add controls to our photo page, we're going to review the XAML layout system and Visual Studio features for designing UI. The XAML layout system supports both static and fluid layouts. What we're going to do is look at some examples of container controls like the grid, stack panel, and canvas, and show how they have both static and fluid layouts. The XAML layout system provides various panel controls such as grid, stack panel, and canvas that serve as containers in which you arrange your content. Use a grid control to arrange content in rows and columns. The Visual Studio templates include grid controls. For example, this grid, the layout root style grid, contains two rows. The first one containing the back button and page title, and the second row, which is row 1, contains the rest of the page layout. As you can see, there are two row definitions. The first is a height of 140, and the rest is a star, meaning it takes up the rest of the available space. If we scroll down, we see that within here, we actually have another grid, and that's the back button and page title grid. As you can see, there are two column definitions. The left column, which will auto-resize based on the content, as well as the second column, and that will automatically resize based on available size. Now both the button and text block are part of this grid. In the page title text block, we set the grid.column attach property to equal 1 to signify that we are in the second column, since the column numbers start at 0. Now the back button doesn't include an attach property for grid.column, and what that means, it's going to default to grid.column equals 0, meaning the first column. Another commonly used control is the stack panel. So let's click on this and see this stack panel. You use a stack panel to arrange content on a single line. You can set the orientation property to stack items either vertically or horizontally. Here we're stacking 4 different images from our assets logo PNG file. The max height property specifies the values that constrain the size of this element while allowing fluid resizing. We can also set the margin property. The margin property specifies the amount of empty space around the control between the outside of the child object and the boundaries of the panel. The margin property takes 4 values, starting with the left and going clockwise, left, top, right, bottom. We can, for example, set the margin property of this particular image to add some space between the last image in the panel. By setting this to 200, we now have 200 pixels in between those two images. Now another commonly used panel control is the canvas control. Let's scroll down so you can see this in the Visual Designer. Use a canvas when you want to control all aspects of positioning and sizing of content. In a canvas, you position elements absolutely using canvas.top and canvas.left attach properties. A canvas doesn't do any sizing of child elements, so you have to size them explicitly. To show how to position controls inside of a canvas, what I'll do is show the toolbox, and we'll drag and drop a radio button and another radio button. And let's just zoom in to 120%. And now what we can do is, as we move this item, notice the canvas.left and canvas.top properties change to be able to show where we are positioning this. And notice as I move my radio button, Visual Studio comes with visual guides that show me how to align these two controls. Now I'm going to zoom out of our view here and go to, say, 33%. And the point I want to show here is that you can use both static and fluid layouts together. For example, instead of having a static height of 300, if we delete this property, you'll notice that the container automatically resizes to take the full height of the available space in grid.row equals 1, or the second row. And we can set other properties, for example, the horizontal alignment equal to left. Now the horizontal alignment specifies what position an object takes in relation to its parent object. And now our canvas is left aligned on this grid. Now the width and height are fixed values measured in pixels. Now what I can do is delete these properties, and you'll notice that our canvas automatically resizes to take as much available space in the second row. And the reason for this, if we scroll back up, is because our row definition says star, which is take all available space. To see the first row auto size, we'll increase the max height to 400, and notice that the first row has auto sized to 400, and the bottom row has taken up whatever remaining space, which is that blue canvas. Later on in the tutorial, we'll use these containers and layout properties to create a fluid layout for the photo viewer page. Next is XAML layout tools, In part one, we added controls to the main page by entering XAML directly into the XAML editor. But Visual Studio also includes a visual XAML designer that you can use to add and arrange controls. Now let's switch back to our Hello World project, and let's take a quick tour of the features available in Visual Studio Express. The first thing we want to show is Solution Explorer. Solution Explorer contains a list of all the files and assets within our Visual Studio project, and as we've seen, you can just double-click on any file to open them. Now, once you have a large solution, what you can do is use the Search Solution Explorer to actually search within the contents of your project. So, for example, let's search for main page. And by doing this, we see a filtered list of all files that start with main page, like mainpage.xaml and mainpage.xaml.vb. Let's go ahead and double-click on mainpage.xaml to open that page. The next thing we want to do is show the XAML designer. So notice our page opened in the XAML editor. If we take our mouse to the very bottom and double-click the design button, that'll open up the page in the XAML designer. The XAML designer allows us to visualize the XAML that we're building. And what we can do is use the toolbox window on the left side where you see toolbox, go ahead and click that. And what you're going to want to do is pin this. So click the little pin to pin it so that it's always visible. And the toolbox allows us to drag and drop controls onto the visual designer. Like Solution Explorer, we can use the Search Toolbox feature to search for particular controls. In our case, let's search for a button, and we see all the available XAML controls that are buttons. And from here, you can, of course, drag and drop any controls onto your design surface. The next feature we want to show is our device settings. So at the very bottom here, go ahead and click Device to show this. And to better see this in action, I'm going to resize our designer using this drop-down here to 33%. And I'll go ahead and click that so we can see our full visual designer. And I'll just move this around so that our page is within the center. As you see in the device window, it includes a number of different settings. For example, we can remove the Chrome that removes it from the visual designer. Just turn it back on. We can also change the view, for example, to snapped view to see what our page looked in the snapped view state. And we can easily toggle between any of these different views. We can also simulate different visual states that are defined in our page, like filled, full screen, portrait, snapped, and so on. And we can also use this to simulate different display types, all the way down to 2560 by 1440 with 109 DPI. Now the next tool I want to show is the document outline. We see it here on the left side. Just by clicking on this button, we'll click it, our document outline appears. And again, we'll click this to pin our window. Let's zoom out and let's go ahead and hide our device window so we just see our document outline. Now the document outline is a visual tree of all the controls in our page. This enables us to arrange and navigate different controls in our page. For example, for this grid, we can click on the eye icon to toggle the visibility on and off so that way we're clear on what this grid actually is within the visual design surface. And under that grid, we see our back button and our page title control. Now we can also use our document outline to rearrange controls. So if we expand our stack panel, select our button, and what we can do is change the order of the stack panel to have the button appear before the text box and easily change that back and forth. And we can, of course, also change the parent control that this button lives inside of. The next thing we want to do is talk about the properties window. And this is a window we've been using before. And with our button selected, notice that we're listing the events and the event handlers, and we have a button click event listed here. And if you double click this, it'll jump you directly to the event handler. Let's switch to the properties view. Now there's a lot of different properties available for us, and we can choose different ways to navigate this properties window. The first is by arrange by category. And these are the categories listed here. And you can expand each of these different areas to see the properties within each category. You can also search properties by name. So I'll click that. And the difference here is this is an alphabetical list of all the properties. I'll switch this back to categories for now. And just like the other windows in Visual Studio, we can also search our properties. So if we start typing content, and we scroll to the top here, we'll see that under comment, we have the button's content property. And this includes all the list of properties that have the word content within it. Now, one of the reasons people like the property window is that it gives you a visual representation of the data. So, for example, if we just start typing a line here, you'll see that we have a visual representation of the horizontal alignment and vertical alignment properties. Here we see our button has a horizontal alignment of left and a vertical alignment of center. And we can change other properties, for example, the margin property. And here we see a visual representation of us setting the left, right, top, and bottom margin properties for this button control. The next feature we want to show is the XAML editor. To show our XAML editor, at the very bottom, we see the word XAML, and go ahead and double click that to open it up. And it'll just zoom in here to 140% within our editor to make this a little easier to read. And we'll use Shift-Alt-Enter to go to full screen. Now, as you've seen as we've been writing our code, we get IntelliSense for any elements and attributes for these XAML controls. And another nice feature within the XAML editor is if we right-click and select Outlining, and we're going to toggle all outlining. Select toggle all outlining. And we just need to do this twice to toggle everything again. Now what we've done is collapsed everything to that common layout aware page class. And as we expand it, we see that all the items within here for both the page resources and grid are also collapsed. This makes it easy to navigate large XAML pages. For example, if we want to see what's inside our code, we'll go into the grid, and we'll see the three different pieces within here. Our back button and page title, the stack panel we've been building, and the visual state manager are the three things that make up the layout root style grid. Now if we expand our stack panel, another handy feature we can use in the XAML editor is to be able to jump to the event handler. So if we expand our stack panel, we see our click event, and if we right click and select navigate to event handler, that'll make it easy for us to navigate directly to this method in the code behind. So once we're in the code view for this button click event, there may be times where we want to be able to navigate back to where we were in that XAML page. And what we can do is use control and minus, and that'll jump us back to that button click. So we can right click the button to navigate to event handler, and anytime we want to jump back to that XAML page, we hit control minus to navigate back. Now let's exit out of full screen mode, and what we can use is the XAML tab or the design tab to switch between these in full screen mode, or on this side what we can do is use the horizontal split button, that's this horizontal line, and what that'll do is navigate this code to show both the XAML and the designer. Now if we want to switch the panes that this code is in, we can click the swap panes button, and now our designer is on top, and our XAML code is underneath it. As you're using Visual Studio, you may accidentally close some toolbar windows, and what you can do is go up to the view window, and what you'll see here, if I just zoom in, is the ability to reopen any of these windows, for example, the Solution Explorer, the output window, and so on. You can also use the keyboard shortcuts to toggle the visibility of these windows on and off. Another feature that you may want to use is the Reset Window Layout. Under Window, we'll see an option to reset window layout. Let's just zoom in here. What this will do, if you click it, you'll see you'll get a dialog that says, are you sure you want to restore the default window layout for the environment? And it'll zoom out and we'll see that our windows, for example, our document outline and so on, will reset to their default values. I'll click yes, and you'll notice these windows automatically collapsed. And the final handy feature is in the top right, and that's the quick launch window. And if we type in here, for example, let's type full screen, we see our command for the view full screen and the keyboard shortcut. And we can, for example, search for all different kinds of things. For example, to pull up the properties window, if we don't know how to find that, we just type properties and we'll see it's under view, properties window, as well as the keyboard shortcut for that as well. Now, Visual Studio has a lot of different commands to offer, and you can use the quick launch window to find and discover those commands. Congratulations, you've completed the first video in Part 3, Navigation, Layout, and Views. You learned about page navigation, panel controls like the grid, stack panel, and canvas, and how to use Visual Studio for designing page layout. In the next video, we'll show how to add an app bar, and we'll use Visual Studio to design a fluid layout that works well in landscape, snapped, or portrait views.